Oh, hell of that woman is Elijah David, minister of 12th Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th hour, in the Elgin, Texas. Today is October 26, 2024, or it is the 24th day of Bull, 2028. We will start our second service on this Sabbath with a continuation of 14 symbolic code, number 1 and 2. Part 2 of When People Are Delivered, Lucy Holler, and we're going to start on the last paragraph, page 27, Isaiah 31:4. For thus hath the sure of the host spoken unto me, like as the lion, and the young lion roaring on his crest, when a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Asher the host come down to fight for the Mount Zion, and for the hill thereof. For the Asher of the host is not going to be afraid. He is going to come down to fight for the Mount Zion at the 12th hour of the kingdom of David, to restore the kingdom. He's going to fight for it to restore it. How do we know it is the kingdom? Please turn with me to Isaiah 1:27-31. For the Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converse with righteousness, and the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together. And they that forsake the Asher shall be concerned, for they shall be ashamed of the oaks which ye have desired, and ye shall be confounded for the gardens that ye have chosen. For ye shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, and as a garden that hath no water. And the strong shall be as tow, and the maker of it as a spark, and they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them. That is what happened anciently to Israel and Judah. But what is to happen at the last, Isaiah 2:2, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Asher of the host's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. So the hill of the Asher of the host then is the everlasting kingdom of Daniel 2:44-45 of heaven restored. Let us continue with Isaiah 31:5-6. And birds flying, as the birds flying, so will the Asher of the host defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it, and passing over, he will preserve it. Turn ye unto him from whom the children of the Israel have deeply revolted. For Yahweh is calling for the reformation in a people other than the children of the Israel, who have deeply revolted against the Yahweh, Isaiah 31:7-8. For in that day every man shall cast away his idols of the silver and his idols of the gold, which your own hands have made unto you for a sin, then shall your sin fall with the sword, not of a mighty man, and the sword not of a mean man, shall devour him, that he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be discomfited. Then when this idolatry is cast away by every man, the sin will fall by the sword, and the time when the Yahweh pleads for his people to return unto him, and when they do it, then their sin will fall. Not before that, it was because of their idolatry that they lost the land, and Yahweh is not going to bring his people back into the land with their idolatry. Therefore, we and all of Yahweh's people must not delay putting away our idols. We had better cast them out and be ready on time to go to a place where it will be so much better than it is in the present world, but there none will be tired or sick or lonely or afraid. Isaiah 31:8. Then shall their sin fall with the sword, not of a mighty man, and the sword not of a mean man, shall devour him, that he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be discomfited. For their sin will fall by a sword, which Yahweh himself shall send. Assyria will not fall by a mean man. His fall will come under the circumstances that will clearly show that the Yahshua of the host caused it to happen. When the ancient Israel fell, it was Yahshua of the host, son of Yahweh, who brought it. It was Yahshua of the host, the son of Yahweh, who was responsible for it. So it will be also with the Assyria, unless she too turns unto the Yahshua of the host. Moreover, it is a vain thing for them to look unto some other nation for help. None can stay Yahshua's punishment. Only the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, can help at such a time. That's what he came down from heaven for, and in the 12th prayer of God, to do this very thing. Isaiah 31:9. And he shall pass over to his stronghold, for the fear of, and his princes shall be afraid of the innocent, says Yahshua of the host, whose fire is in Zion, and his furnace is in the Jerusalem. At the time that the Yahweh's purifying fire is in Zion, and his purifying furnace is in the Jerusalem, the sin will pass over to his stronghold. For the fear and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign. From this we can see that Nineveh will not lose out completely when she loses in Palestine. She is to lose out in Palestine first and then flee to her stronghold. This has reference to the time when the kingdom is set up before the scarlet-colored beast comes, before the woman ruled the beast. Indeed, this prophecy is talking about Assyria, not Babylon. To show that Assyria will lose out in the promised land. Babylon rules in the wilderness. Before she loses her stronghold, the kingdom, the everlasting kingdom of heaven, Daniel 2:44 and 45, then is to be established before the complete fall of the Assyria takes place. For the everlasting kingdom of the heaven, Daniel 2:44, is going to be established, moreover, in the Mount Zion at the 12th hour, and Jerusalem, the capital, kingly palace ground, not in Washington or Mount Carmel. And many people and nations shall flow unto it. It will happen just as soon as every man casts away his idol. It is useless to expect it before. As soon as that happens, Assyria will fall in the land. The coming of the everlasting kingdom of the heaven, Daniel 2:44, then is not waiting for anyone but the Yahweh's own people, or the Yahshua's, the son of Yahweh's own people. Let us return unto Jeremiah and read a few more verses from the chapter we were studying earlier. Jeremiah 31:13. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dancing, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow. Both old and young will rejoice together. Jeremiah 31:14. And I will satiate the soul of the priest with the fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Yahshua. Jeremiah 31:15-16. Thus saith Yahshua of the host, son of Yahweh, for a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, for the Rachel weeping for her children refused to be comforted, for her children because they were not. Thus saith Yahshua of the host, refrain thy voice from the weeping, and thine eyes from the tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith Yahshua. And they shall come again from the land of the enemy. This includes all Yahweh's people, living and dead. Jeremiah 31:17-18. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Yahshua of the host, that thy children shall come again unto their own border, for I will surely have heard Ephraim bemoaning himself, thus thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art Yahshua, my Savior. How different is Ephraim, head of the 10 tribes of Israel, the 10 tribes, you know, at the time of his deliverance, compared with what he was like when he was taken captive? Once he was like a wild bullet, but now he is tamed. We have read a number of the scriptures here today. Now let us very briefly summarize what we learned from it. For we learned, number one, what is the time of the Jacob's trouble. Number two, the kingdom will be set up in a time of the war, a war. Number three, the whirlwind and sword. War is the evil, the curse that is to be sent unto all the nations, and to whom the Yeshua will send it. Number four, the evil war is to go from nation to nation, and is not to be of the short duration. Number five, Yahweh's people will be delivered in the time of the great trouble. Number six, they must cast away all idolatry as a prerequisite for the being delivered. Number seven, the Gentiles will have the trouble when they are called out of the Babylon. Today's study dealt mainly with the Jacob's own trouble and about his being delivered from the Assyrian yoke. The great and dreadful day of the Assyrian is fast approaching, or fast coming. Let us each be ready for it on time, lest we leave out altogether. Okay, that's the end of 13 symbolic code number 1 and 2. Okay, we're going to continue our study with 13 symbolic code number 3 and 4. And the title for that is the Latter Day Confederacy. For this study, it was given by the Vichy Holler, 1939-1940. Through the prophecy of Isaiah 7 and 8, we plainly see that the Yahshua of the host, people are approaching a time that will demand of them great faith to believe implicitly in the Yahweh's word only. Since the experiences which are recorded in the Bible were written for the examples or object lesson for Yahweh's people today, 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, let us read a few verses from Isaiah 7 and then Isaiah 8 and glean the lesson there we may be hidden there for us. That Isaiah 7:1, and it came to pass in the days of the Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Assyria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. This verse, in the conjunction with the verses which follow it, reveal that the Yahweh's favorite Judah, the two-tribe kingdom, even though at the same time Ephraim, head of the ten-tribe kingdom of Israel, were also his people. For the reason he favored Judah in this instance was that their brethren, Ephraim, had joined a heathen portion to fight against Judah. Therefore, Yahweh could not bless Ephraim. Okay. He could not bless Ephraim's endeavor. Through this experience, we should gain the lesson as the antitypical apostolic believers that the Thou shalt the host, son of Yahweh, will not bless the endeavors of any of his people when they join the heathen forces in the order for the gaining of the strength and their effort for the overcoming of their brethren in the Yahshua, whom for the same reason they wish to have put out of their way. Such an alliance cannot prosper, Isaiah 17. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim, and his heart was moved, and the heart of his people as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Isaiah 7:2, and it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim, and his heart was moved, and the heart of his people as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. For the people of Judah were afraid. How would we feel if a like experience should befall us now? What would sustain us through it? Yahshua then would be the only house, our only hope of his people. Isaiah 7:3-9. Then said Yahshua unto Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahab, thou and Jashub, thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool, and the highway of the fuller's field, and say unto him, Take heed, and be quiet, fear not, neither be faint-hearted. For the two tails of the smoking firebrand, for the fierce anger of the risen with Syria, and of the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, Let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith Yahshua, son of Yahweh, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass, for the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is risen, and within 80 and 5 years shall Ephraim be broken. That's the head of the 10 tribe Israel, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely you shall not be established. For the Yahshua of the host, son of Yahweh, was here telling Judah that they should not fear this alliance, because he was not sponsoring it. Israel and Syria were dependent on nothing greater than their kings and the capitals of their nations. Judah was instructed to depend on the Yahshua of the host, son of Yahweh, word which declared that these allied powers would fail to overcome them. Moreover, Judah was told, If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. In other words, Judah, the lawgiver, the kingdom of David, was told that if they did not believe what the Yeshua of the host, Son of Yahweh, was telling them, they would lose out their survival. Therefore was wholly conditional on their complete belief in the Yahweh's promise, only that the alliance formed against them would fail. For the day is coming when you and I too must depend entirely on the Yeshua of the host, Son of Yahweh's word, because he's here directing his army. But unless we know what the Yeshua of the host's word is, it is impossible for us to believe him. Isaiah 8:9. Associate yourselves, O you people, and you shall be broken in pieces, and give ear, all ye of the country. Gird yourselves, and you shall be broken into pieces. Gird yourselves, and you shall be broken in pieces. Yahweh here is challenging a move toward a federation of the nation. With the World War I, we began to hear serious proposals for the associating of the nation into a single league. That was around 1917-18. Today, the proposal is revived. It's called NATO, or the League of Nations. And efforts of the One World Order are being made toward forming a strong and workable union of nations. Indeed, not only is the idea of the International Federation of the Nation, indeed, not only is the idea of the International Federation growing more and more prevalent, but in the minds of many great men, there is a positive conviction that the successful continuance of their nation's way of life is utterly dependent upon the closest association and cooperation of all those nations which share their way of the life. For the warning given in this chapter unto the nations and people is not to associate and gird themselves or take counsel together, as it would only come to naught, for there may be some significance in the repetition of the warning. If so, it would indicate that either two or three possible three attempts would be made among nations to associate and gird themselves, and it would only end in complete a failure. Well, that's what's happened in Israel today. Hezbollah, Lebanon, Gaza, Hamas, the West Bank, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Turkey, all the 28 League of Nations of Europe, they're all have joined themselves in an alliance against Israel. And they're all losing out. If there should yet be another attempt and there be involved a war against Judah, that's who's running the country over in Israel today, is actually the side of Judah. The Judah having no adequate means have the defense among themselves, they'll have to let Yahweh, that share the whole son of Yahweh, be the meaning of the deliverance. Isaiah 8:10, take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand. For Yahshua, the host son of Yahweh, is with us as our king and deliverer. For the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, people take a strong and independent attitude because they believe that Yahshua of the host son of Yahweh is with them. Most human beings are somewhat like the Peter, where we have the great faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, until we meet face to face with a trial, when the trial here prophesied comes, though, Yahshua of the host, Son of Yahweh's people, must know that Yahshua, the host, the Son of Yahweh, is with them, and they must firmly stand on the side, on his side. Through this verse, we are made to understand the real reason for the certain failure of the nations in their attempt for the obviating of the fulfillment of their fears. For Yahweh is for Yahshua of the host, son of Yahweh, is not with them, for it becomes distinctly apparent, therefore, that it is the pressing duty of every Yahshua, son of Yahweh, fearing a country, an individual sincerely to seek Yahshua, of the host son of Yahweh, Yahweh's will, and be with him if we are to survive and prosper. Isaiah 8:11-12. For Yahshua of the host son of Yahweh spake thus unto me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, say ye not a confederacy unto all them unto whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. For Yahshua, son of Yahweh of hosts, people are not only commanded not to participate in the confederacy, but they are to oppose it, and to all them unto whom this people shall say a confederacy. Now that fear ye their fear, nor be afraid, for it is upon the root of the some fear that the confederacy is formed, that which constitutes their fear is not to constitute the fear of the Yahweh's people. Isaiah 8:13. Sanctify the Yahshua of the host, son of the Yahweh himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. For the Yahshua of the host, the son of the Yahweh alone, is to be revered. For the Yahshua the host, son of the Yahweh alone, is to be feared and dreaded. If there were no possibility for fear, for the fear at the fulfillment of this chapter, there would be no need for this reassurance and instruction. It is indicative of the fact that Yahweh's people will see themselves absolutely helpless, and they will appeal helpless unto all others. Then they will receive the deliverance from Yeshua of the whole Son of Yahweh, and all will behold it if the Yeshua of the whole Son of Yahweh's people are approaching the time when they must either confederate or sacrifice their lives. They must be developing that the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua of the host, which will cause them to believe that in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and this shall flee from them, Revelation 9:6, Isaiah 8:14, and he shall be for a sanctuary, ready for a stone of the stumbling, and for a rock of the offense, unto both the houses of the Israel, for a gin and for a snare unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem. For a sanctuary is a place of the refuge, besides being a place of the refuge unto the Yahweh faithful ones, he is also to be a rock of the offense unto both of the house. Let's read that again. For a sanctuary is a place of the refuge, besides being a place of the refuge for the Yahshua, Son of the Host's people, Yahweh's faithful one, he is also to be a rock of the offense unto both the houses of Israel, Judah, and Israel, and a gin and a snare unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem. For Jerusalem was the ruling city of Judah. From this it is plain that through this confederacy, Yahweh is to be a gin and a snare unto the antithetical Judah. Isaiah 8:15. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. For this prophecy declares that the confederacy will be a snare, a trap, and that many will fall and be taken in it. It will be a fearful trap and will set great Yahweh's people. Thus is Yeshua going to test all his people and let them reveal just how much faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant each of them has. In the face of this warning, we must make the necessary preparation, so that we will not fall into the snare. For Yahshua, Son of the Yahweh, has clearly forewarned his people, so that they will not be taken by surprise. And Isaiah 24, we are told that there would be a shaking as of an olive tree, and that few men would be left for the confederacy that we are studying. This afternoon commences before the Yahshua of the host of Yahweh's cry, or the loud cry, and before the slaughter of Ezekiel 9. It is not the image of the beast, for this association precedes the image of the beast. And the confederacy is formed when the nations are girding themselves for war. Put another way, the confederacy will commence after the sealing of the 144,000, first place harvest of the administered, and perhaps just before the start of the Ezekiel 9. Moreover, it is in the time when the Christian nations are united that the woman Babylon was set on the seven heads, Revelation 17:9. Depicting also the union of the churches under or with the Babylon. All those who are not expecting the Confederacy, but instead are expecting next the reassertion of the Roman Church supremacy, or the Battle of the Armageddon, or something else, are going to fall, are going to into this snare, for it will appear unto them harmless and perhaps even a good thing, but it will be their trap. Isaiah 8:16-18. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait upon the assurance of the host of Yahweh that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him, because I and the children whom Yahshua, the whole son of Yahweh, has given me are for signs and for wonders in the Israel from the Yahshua of the host, which dwelleth in the Mount Zion. Someone will have faith in the blood of the blessed children of the Yahshua, for the Yahshua does not mean by this that he is keeping his blessings away from Jacob, but it shows that though we cannot see his face, we can witness his power. Isaiah 8:19. And when they shall say, go unto you, seek unto them that have the familiar spirits, and unto the wizards that speak, and that that murder, there should not a people seek unto the Yahweh for the living unto the dead. This shows that the world is going spiritualistic, Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony, that they speak not according to this word because there's no light in them. This does not mean that they are the devils, but rather they are in the darkness. When they learn the truth, then they shall speak according unto the law and the testimony of Yahshua, Isaiah 8:21-2. And they shall pass through it, hardly be dead and hungry, and it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their Yahshua, and son of Yahweh, and look upward, and they shall look unto the earth, and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. This ends 13 symbolic code, number 3 and 4. 13 symbolic code, number 5 and 6. The title of the observance of the Sabbath. Okay. let's do that again. We're going to do 12 Symbolic Code number 8 and 9. That's Isaiah 28. It says the following sermon was given by B.T. Hart of March of 1943. We shall spend our allotted time today studying the 28th chapter of the Isaiah 28:1. Woe to the crown of the proud, to the drunkards of Ephraim. This is the 10 tribes of Israel. Today that would translate into the general conference of Seventh-day Adventists, those Jesuits that have taken over the leadership of the Adventist Church. They would be the drunkards today, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with the wine. For the drunkards in this verse are identified as the Ephraimites of the 10 tribes of Israel. For the kingdom of Ephraim is known as that division of Israel which was made up originally of the 10 tribes and was called the house or the kingdom of Israel. Isaiah 28:2-4. Behold, the Yeshua hath a mighty and a strong one, which has a tempest of the hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of the mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand the crown of the proud. The drunkards of Ephraim shall be trodden under the feet, and the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower. And as the hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looketh up on it seeth while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up. These verses portray the downfall of Ephraim, or the 10 tribes, today would represent the general conference of Seventh-day Adventists, which comes as a result of their sin. Isaiah 28:5. In that day shall Yeshua the host be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people. Another class of the people is brought to view in this verse, namely, the residue of his people. That would be the tribe of Judah. The two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. There are then the Ephraimites mentioned in Isaiah 28:1, and also the residue of his people mentioned in Isaiah 28:7. In the time of the reign of the Solomon's son, you recall, the kingdom of Israel was divided into two kingdoms. Ephraim, or the kingdom of Israel, being composed of the 10 tribes, was the main body or division, for the residue was the house or the kingdom of the Judah. And that would be the tribe that David was of and that Yeshua was of, and the lawgiver, Genesis 49:10. And was made up of the two remaining tribes, Judah and Benjamin, after the kingdom of Israel was divided into these two kingdoms. The tribes in each intermingled, thus causing each kingdom to have within its people from all the 12 tribes. The two kingdoms, however, never merged themselves into the one kingdom. Isaiah 28:5-6. In that day shall the Yahshua of the host, son of Yahweh, be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of the beauty unto the residue. Now that's the tribe of Judah, that Yahshua is of his people, and for a spirit of the judgment unto him that sitteth in the judgment, and for strength unto them that turn the battle to the gate. Okay. So it says, in the spirit of judgment unto him that sitteth in judgment. And when Yahshua comes back again in the 12th hour, which he's already done, then he's got this antiquary larger, this is forerunner. He's the one that sits in judgment. When Yahshua is here. And for the strength unto them that turn the battle to the gate. Now thus, for this chapter is a prediction of what was sometime to take place in the house of the Ephraim, the 10 tribes of Israel, and what was sometime to take place in the house of Judah, the lawgiver. For the history so far does not bear record, however, but this prophecy has yet met its complete fulfillment. Moreover, since this prophecy was made directly for Ephraim and Judah back there, and indirectly for Ephraim and Judah today, therefore, just as the kingdom was divided into two divisions anciently, there also must be two divisions in the modern Israel of today. And so what is that division? That's the Seventh-day Adventist, the Ellen G. White led up to 1890, and the Shepherd Rod that Ricky Holler led starting in 1930. And what happened to the kingdoms of the Israel anciently is to be repeated in our day, similar to what happened to the ancient nations of the world will also happen to their descendants in our day, accordingly to verses 5 and 6, which we have just read. The Yahshua of the host, son of Yahweh, must be very close to those for whom he is to be a crown of glory. Let us reread those verses. Isaiah 28:5-6, in that day shall Yahshua of the host, son of Yahweh, be for a crown of glory, and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people, and for a spirit of the judgment unto him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength unto them that turn the battle to the gate. He is to be all this unto the residue of his people, Judah. We have learned that it is from the Seventh-day Adventist Church that the 144,000 are to come, and with them will begin the establishment of the everlasting kingdom of the heaven, Daniel 2:44-45, that Yahshua comes here and sits upon the throne of David, which will be called the kingdom of Judah here on earth in the 12th hour, and those of the kingdom of the Ephraim are to join the kingdom of the Judah, and together they will become one nation. If 144,000 are in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, then Ephraim must be found in some other church. The Protestant churches think they can sometime join themselves together into one religious unit, and you know that for some time they have been working toward that goal. We understand the name Ephraim in this prophecy to be speaking chiefly of the Protestant sect, for the Catholic Church is a paganized Christian church, Isaiah 28:7. But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink, or out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through the strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. In Isaiah 28:1, we are told that Ephraim has been overcome with the wine and are therefore drunkard. And Isaiah 28:7 tells us that they, the residue, Judah, have also erred through wine. In other words, both the Protestant churches of the Ten Tribes and our own Seventh-day Adventist church have become drunk with the wine. Theories of men. Isaiah 28:8, for all tables are full of the vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. At the time, this verse applies unto the world has no clean place, Isaiah 28:9. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. When Yeshua saw that it was time to teach knowledge and to give understanding of the doctrine, there was no clean place in the world. Hence the question, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? For the implication which this question carries is that it is almost impossible to teach anyone the pure doctrine, for the reason being that at that time all the churches were seen drunk on the contaminated doctrine of the Catholic Church, which is called here the doctrines of men, but of those Protestant churches. But the truth had to come, and this verse says that it should only be given to those weaned from the milk, those who have long been in the faith and the blood of the everlasting children of Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20, the new and living way, and are able to take strong meat. It's only those. It is for this reason that the rod message has come only unto the Adventist church. The Ephraimites would not understand it. It is only those older in the faith and the blood of the everlasting children of Yahshua, farther advanced in the truth, that can at first understand the Adventist doctrines of are the most advanced. Therefore, it is through the Adventist church that the Yahshua of the host, Son of Yahweh, wants first to teach knowledge and to make to understand doctrine. Isaiah 28:10. For the precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. There are repetitions spoken here. Our message today covers certain subjects from many angles, Isaiah 28:11. For with the stammering lips and another tongue shall he speak unto this people. In its application and for the presence of the descendants of the Ephraim of the 10 tribe and Judah of the 3 tribe, who anciently were broken and shattered, we find that the message which is today being brought to Judah comes not in the Hebrew but in the English language. Isaiah 28:12-13. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is a refreshing. Yet they would not hear. But the word of Yahshua of the host, son of the Yahweh, was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Those unto whom this happens have no excuse in this message to Judah, the lawgiver, Yahshua of the host, son of the Yahweh, is to point out the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest and the refreshing, and that it's not that the very message that Yahshua of the host, son of the Yahweh, has sent us to carry to our Advent brethren today from the shepherd's rod, but sadly they will not hear. So Sister White, in the commenting upon these verses, has this to say: for with the stammering lips and another tongue would he speak unto this people, unto whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, that they would not hear. But the word of Yahshua, of the host, son of Yahweh, was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backwards and be broken and snared and taken. Why? Because they did not heed the word of Yahshua of the host, son of Yahweh, that came unto them. This means those who have not received the instruction, but have cherished their own wisdom and have chosen to work themselves according unto their own ideas, for Yahshua gives these the test, that they shall either take their position to follow his counsel or refuse and do according unto their own ideas. And then Yahshua the host, son of Yahweh, will leave them to the sure result. Testimonies and Ministries 4:18-9. Isaiah 28:14. Wherefore hear the word of Yahshua, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. So that would be the general comfort of Seventh-day Adventists. This verse calls those who rule this people in Jerusalem, Judah, for that scornful men. Isaiah 28:15. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with the hell are we at the agreement, when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under or with the falsehood have we hid ourselves. They will not say this in words, but in their action they will say this very thing. Isaiah 28:16. Therefore thus saith Yeshua of the whole son of Yahweh, behold, I will lay in Mount Zion the 12th hour for a foundation, for a stone, as a tried stone, as a precious corner stone, as a sure foundation, for he that believeth shall not make haste. When the Yahshua was on the earth, he had nothing to do with Zion, but in his kingdom, which he is soon to sit up, and sit upon the throne of David in the tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, Genesis 49:10, where it says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and Shiloh is Yahshua, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. He is to be the precious cornerstone, the sure foundation, and will sit on the throne of the David and Zion. Moreover, it is the Yahshua and his people which will constitute the beginning or foundation of the everlasting kingdom of the heaven, Daniel 2:44-45, symbolized by the stone of the Daniel 2, which is to smite the image on the feet and then grow and become a great mountain. This brings in verse 50, so contact us at the 11thHourCall.com. We're going to close now with a song.